on 97.5 and 102.5 FM, DAB and online at pulse1.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show on Pulse One. With Provident, lending a helping hand since 1880. Visit provident.co.uk.
Kia ora and g'day rugby league fans. This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show, chatting nothing but hardcore rugby league for the next hour. Leon Price is in the house.
Hello everybody, good evening.
Actually, we're doing something new tonight for the first time ever. We're streaming it live. Actually, it's not the first time because we periscoped it a while back, didn't we? I'm pandering at the moment, trying to find out where Robbo is. He's done it again. He's done a no-show. Is he here?
Oh,
he's here. Look at him. He's dressed in his full. Can you see up there?
No.
Yeah, you can.
You
can get it in the camera. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, he's turned up. He's obviously caught the motorbike here. He's come on the motorbike. He looks like he's trying to rob the place. He'll be in the show in a little bit time. We've just seen a massive weekend of rugby league unfold, and we have another one in front of us. So let's get tonight's show underway. This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show.
The Robbie Hunter Pool Show. News and views.
Leon, so we're going live. I think we've got to watch what we're going to say.
Was this Facebook Live, your page?
Yeah, this is my, not my personal page, this is the sort of profile page that you can put on.
The fans page for the fans, for all your fans.
Yeah, no one anyone knowing exactly who I really am.
Quite boring, really, don't know who you really are, Rob.
Yeah, well, don't say that, so cruel, so cruel. How was the weekend for you, buddy?
Weekend were okay for me. Obviously not too good for the team. We had a massive disappointment in the rugby, but me personally, my weekend was okay, not too bad.
Just chilling, cruising?
I was guest of honour down at the Bradford to have a chat during half-time and before the game. Yep. So we watched the game from the box.
That's how he rolls.
That's how we roll.
Pops his collars.
Yeah, we enjoyed that. Went down there with Carly and the kids. And we're okay. We're a nice warm day. Took my next door neighbour down. Went down there with Addick and Russell.
Russell,
Kirsty. And we said we had a nice time.
Oh, absolutely! Well, it sounds like a nice time, Robbo. Robbo, you can't sneak in because we had you on the camera coming in, looking like you're going to ram raid the place. Robbo, your seat's around here, buddy. Come and pull up a seat. Watch what you're saying because we're live on Facebook.
Watch what you're saying. We watch what we're saying every week.
Oh, actually, we have to because we're live on radio as well. We're just going to, the advertisers need to have their peace of mind, so we're going to pause it for each of the breaks so the advertisers can get through. Where you been, mate?
Oh, mate, welcome to the coaching world, eh?
I know it, eh?
I know, it's ridiculous. I know.
You're like a grown-up now.
Man, I don't like having a proper job. Hate having a proper job.
No, come on. It's coaching. It's still not a proper job.
In at 7:30 this morning, having a meeting.
I'm not saying the hours aren't long, because I do know that coaches' hours are very long, but it's not a proper job, let's be
honest. No, it's not. I'm not digging holes like my dad, or getting sheet metal in his eyes or whatever, and blisters on his fingers, but I'm showing it to listen to lads, you know, and the sob stories all day. Bit of a review of the season, so yeah, it's been a bit like X Factor from 7:30 till what time is it now? 6:00, my God.
So you guys would have had your Mad Monday already, hadn't you?
Oh yeah, which put everyone on a bit of a downer anyway.
Why?
So a bit more of a sub
why?
Story.
Why?
What do you mean?
Were it a good Mad Monday or not?
Oh yeah, it's always good.
Were you invited on it?
Yeah, a bit weird this year. A bit weird.
You can't go on it anymore.
As a senior player and a very vocal member of a squad, I would not let him come in my Mad Monday.
Exactly. He's a coach now. You're one of them.
100%.
You're not one of us. You're one of them.
Look, I'm still top dog, so my says goes. But you know what, yeah, I don't think my banter will go down as well when I'm a coach. Do you know what, we're all right before, a little cheeky chappy.
Yeah.
Now that I'm a coach, don't know if it has the same effect.
People don't look at you the same.
They don't. They don't look at me the same
at
all.
Yeah. Who are they talking about, idiot?
It's the same joke. It's the same sort of punchline. It's the same timing.
And then they're whispering in your ear. Then you're whispering in your ear, have I got a contract next year?
What do you say to that?
I don't know, mate. The bit we go out of the office when they start talking about stuff like that. I'm still too close at lads.
Oh, I see. So fine for the coaches and all of that to have you bridge the gap, you know, with Big Rick Stone. He can allow you to bridge the gap and make sure you got the information coming one way, but it's not going to go the other way.
Oh, yeah.
You're like a spy.
Snitch. Snitch.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to say
that's
it
what
openly,
the lads
but you
call me on Mad Money, the snitch. Well, people, are people pretending that I was wired up all night. Snitch. Basically, when I walked in, just like you said, Leon, Aaron Murphy started patting me down.
Yeah.
Patting me down in front of the lads. I was like, this is what it's come
to. Are you comfortable understanding and knowing that you won't be invited next year? I mean, have you come to terms with that? And what about your wife? Your wife is going to be so happy because you're not allowed to go on it.
Do you know what? I got home and I basically said to her, as soon as I got home, I said, I can't ever go again. I can't ever go again. And she was like, I don't know, she's very bothered. I think she likes to have in bed to herself for a few nights.
I'm nervous. I'm nervous about my Mad Monday. This is going to be my last Mad Monday as a Super League player. So,
but it won't be your last Mad Monday.
No. But it's like, it's a celebration in the Super League.
Yes.
It's like an extra added little bit of a bonus to go crazy. Yeah. But I'm really nervous because that could happen.
I was the same though. Coming to the back end of my career, I got nervous of those
days. I don't like them. I'm scared.
It's like expectations
scary
on your shoulders.
Scary.
So just briefly and in a very family-friendly way, explain what a Mad Monday is.
Well, basically it's, we work all season, obviously everyone knows. We play the games all year. The second that we get kicked out of the competition, so if you come first, it's after the grand final, if it's before the playoffs. Whenever you play your last game, the very next day it should be, in my opinion, or on the Monday of after the weekend. So if you play Saturday, Sunday we'd probably drink all day. Then Monday is the big Mad Monday where we all get in fancy dress. We go to another country. We go out of Bradford. We go wherever. And we all get together, the full group of players, and drink all day and all night, basically.
Athletes.
Yeah.
Professional athletes.
Yeah, well, it's just, it's ritual, isn't it? It happens in here, it happens in NRL, it happens amateur.
And ritual is important to keeping the group tight, to keeping the group together, and actually to let go of some of the members of the group, because that's the reality.
It's your last drink together,
It's your people. Last time together.
Well, I wasn't going to go, but this is my last drink with the boys. This is Yemo's last drink with the boys. So they said, like, Yemo said, if I'm going, you're coming.
He thinks he's talking to his missus, isn't he?
I'm just trying to convince myself.
I'll tell you why he's so worried. The older you get, it's the hangover afterwards. Oh. About 3 days, I'm still feeling a bit nervous now, I'll be honest. I've still got butterflies in my stomach. I don't feel right just yet.
I remember one Mad Monday when Gilly were on yours and he phoned me up. I said, Gilly, where are you? He went, come and get me. I said, Gilly, where are you? I'm somewhere in Bolton or Preston. The lads have kicked me off a train.
No.
I said, wait there, I'll come and get you.
Not the lads, we didn't kick him off. The police kicked him off. The transport police kicked him off. Basically, what we're doing is we're basically annoying. He was basically calling me all sorts of names all the way down the train for about, it must have been an hour. An hour just absolutely hammering me. I'm giving him a bit of stick back.
Where were you?
We're on his way to Blackpool.
He didn't even make Blackpool.
No, he didn't make Blackpool.
He didn't even make it.
He rang me in a train station.
Somebody whispered in my ear, one conductor said, you need to calm down or you're going to get off this transport, please. So I just basically took a seat. Gilly kept on abusing me and abusing me. Eventually, transport, please, come on. I got up, the whole train banging on the windows, waving at him. It like I started crying. But to be fair, next news, I was in the middle of Blackpool with my pint. I just turned around. Who were there?
So, Leon, did you go and pick him up?
I went to get him, then he disappeared. His phone went off and he disappeared. I said, wait, train station, I'll be there first. Whatever you do, do not move. I'm walking around Preston at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon going, Gilly!
Oh, that is gold.
And as usual, Gilly just disappeared.
All right, we've got to get Gilly on this show. We've got to get him on. I'm just wary of the time. Robert, did you have to dress up this time?
Well, no, it's a bit weird for me. It's the first time ever I've never dressed up, and that's the reason, because nobody even spoke about Mad Monday, because we were so nervous about, you know, stressed. Being in them. Nobody was contemplating Mad Monday. We were just literally, let's get out of this mess we're in.
Yeah.
So then all of a sudden...
That's brilliant, though. Yeah. That is brilliant, actually, because that's focus.
And then at least when we're... Oh, mate, we're probably better Mad Monday because everyone's so relieved.
Yeah.
Everyone
but
turned up.
I don't think that is good, though, because usually... As a rule, like, I've always been in finals, so we've never really planned our Mad Mondays. But last year, when we were going to finish. Like, we knew we were in eighth position all the way along. We knew when season we were going to finish. So we could plan it. So we planned it really good. We all went to Amsterdam. We had fancy dress tonight. It were wicked. It was best man Monday I've ever had. Whereas usually you don't know, like Robbo's saying, you don't plan it. You don't know what you're going to do, so you just end up having a little.
And it's frowned upon if you look at if you talk about it as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go to a break. First break of the evening. When we come back, loads to talk about. Been a busy weekend, massive weekend. Want to get Robbo's thoughts on how Huddersfield got the relief, and also on the back of that absolute success, Ben Cockayne's outbursts and absolutely pummeling the £1 million game and the concept itself. So all that and more, so stick with us right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
It's all about rugby. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Welcome back to the RHP Show, getting down and dirty with all things rugby league. So let's talk about Saturday afternoon. Huddersfield Giants, first whole KR, watching it on the box. You guys absolutely blew them away in the first half. To their own admission, they were putting a lot of ball down, giving you a couple opportunities to get into the game. But come on, Robbo, tell us about the relief you must be feeling after securing your position in the Super League for 2017.
Oh, obviously, you know, a couple of weeks back, I was a worried man, weren't I? We were playing the greatest rugby.
You were a shell of a man.
Changed the side around a bit. We got a bit more consistency. We played a few older blokes, really. Pitcher's most consistent side, and thankfully we pulled a win out. But you know, it's like Ulki Arleon will tell you, they always play better that way when the wind's coming off the sea. They always go that way better. And I sort of said at half time, I think we still need to score a try. Well, we didn't need to score a try, we just need one more point, but at one point we're enough, thankfully.
Relief. Come on, what was it like in the dressing rooms afterwards? There was a post on social media that I saw with all the boys partying away. Even Ken Davies was getting in the middle, dropping some shapes in the changing room.
He has been dancing, isn't
he? Gotta love Ken, though.
Yeah, it's good fuck. Oh mate, I think that's the word for it. It wasn't excitement. It was just pure relief. That's what it was. You know, everyone's kept their jobs. Oh, that's it. Well, you know, we can rebuild, start again next season. This season's over, done and dusted. So, yeah, there are a lot of relief men. One for me, really, I missed my sister's wedding for it. So I literally had to run in, sing the song, get on my motorbike, fly back for the wedding. So I missed the celebrations, which were a bit gutted about. A little bit good, but I made up for it.
But it is your sister.
Yeah, but it's my sister.
I'm sure she'll love hearing you say that. I'm upset. I missed the bears flying around in the bus on the way home.
Yeah, I'd like to have been there. I had a good time at the wedding as well, but no, just massive, massive relief.
Remember, that is her greatest day ever. Your sister's greatest day ever.
Well, I got the best bears. I missed the wedding. I got to the speeches, got to the party. It's the main bit in anyway. I'm not really religious.
Yeah, but weddings are for life, not just for Christmas. So Hulk Hour losing to Huddersfield last weekend has set up the final showdown for Super League survival between Hulk Hour and Salford, now who won comfortably at Mount Pleasant against Batley. The £1 million game, actually, when you have a look at it, it actually can look circa more £3 to £5 million, because that's really what it means. It means probably around £1 million from the centre, where you're getting more money. But the reality is, it means more. You've got more supporters that'll come to the game because there's Super League games, so more ticket incomes. It means more in retail, more shop sales, sponsorships. A lot easier to get that commercial pound, and not only just from the centre. Does that ever come into the equation from a playing point of view?
I don't know about it. No, probably not. You're just thinking, you know, keeper's job. You know, I want to pay my mortgage and, you know, in 2 months' time when your contract's up at the club. But from my point of view, I got a different feel for it this year. You know, I was speaking to a lot of people behind the scenes that rely on our Super League status. You know, people in the commercial background and the kit men and the ladies behind the scene. You kind of forget about all those people, really. But I suppose people just forget about, really, that their job's on the line as well.
Well, on that, Ben Cockayne has publicly slammed the new system. Now, he's bringing to light the player welfare issue, but like you, he's also talking about, you know, the people that surround the club, you know, the commercial department, people in the media departments, people, the groundsmen. the lack of, you know, like I explained, sort of painted the picture of, it can be anywhere between £3 to £5 million extra. Those go into wages, and you got to make cuts. And a lot of teams consider, well, how are we going to get back to that £3 to £5 million bonus? And that means we need to invest more into our performance department. Well, you got to make cuts somewhere.
Yeah, it's a tricky one because he also mentions the welfare of people, and not only players, but people behind the background. And I get all that, but you know, the flip side of it is we are an entertainment business, aren't we? And that is just, you know, we're from a culture that rewards normally promotion, relegation, and like you say, we are entertainers. That's what our job is, and as unfortunately for us as players, that's just the way the spectacle goes. I know that it creates more of an atmosphere and more excitement and drama, anxiety with this £1 million game. So I understand that it's good for rugby league. The more sort of column inches we can get, the better it is for rugby league.
Leon, you reckon he'll be saying this if it was Huddersfield still playing
absolutely
in that game?
Not. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Ben Kukay once in last year when his team were like second in playoffs, were in middle eights.
No, that's exactly right. I think they finished top of the pile in the Super 8 qualifiers. But there was no one coming out and talking about that. But to his defence, though, I don't think that's his fault.
I'm only joking. Until
you walk that pathway, you've had that sort of pressure, I mean, which Robbo was experiencing 2 weeks ago, until you've walked that pathway, you don't really know how intense that is.
Well, as a Super League player, I think the same as what Ben Cocaine's saying, really. I don't like the system. I don't like the thought of it. I don't like of having a couple of months to change your mortgage plans to have to maybe go from, I don't know, 70 grand a year to 25 grand a year or something like that, you know, within a couple of months. It's not good for your family. It's not good for anything, really, in my opinion. It might be good as a spectacle for people sitting on TV and watch fair dues. But I'll take it looking from the other foot for next season. I'll be at Bradford, where if we do well, we've got a much better chance of getting in Super League. Whereas, you know, if it was the licence system, maybe you're locked out.
In the licensing system,
so,
you were locked out.
So I'm going from one extreme to the other. I'm going from maybe looking at it a bit negatively to look at it maybe next year in a positive way.
Well, there is another way of looking at, another way to wrestle with this concept. And the fact is that the majority of the sports in this country have a simple promotion relegation system. So the reality of having to perform to keep your mortgage paid, actually, that's always been in place. Take away the franchise. Before the franchise system come into play in, what was it, 2008? I think it was 2008. When did Salford get relegated? Yeah. So franchises came into play in 2008. Keeping that in mind, before that, so from 1996 all the way through to 2007, all of those years, 11 seasons, that is, it basically, teams were coming to those final games of the season and having to perform for Super League survival. So nothing's really changed.
I know what you mean. It's probably just highlighted more at the moment. I think it is, yeah.
Is it maybe accentuated a little more because it's this game? And
yeah,
it's about,
I think it is,
trying not to be in that fourth, fifth place position.
I think
there's a good argument that if you're finished fourth, why don't you deserve the right to be in the Super League next year?
I think
year?
As well, also, times have changed. I think back when it was relegation and promotion, what year did you say it was, Robbie?
2007.
Yeah, I think like the social media aspects of things, the Twitter profiles and whatever, it wasn't talked about, it wasn't used as much as it is at the moment. I mean, now, you know, our voices and our opinions are heard a lot easier, a lot louder through social media forms. But, for me, I think at least when you're in a league format, you kind of had an idea what was going on.
Yeah.
You had time to plan. Maybe you're a bottom-up pile and you've at least got a couple of weeks, a couple of months to plan, doing what you're doing. You know you're going to come out of contract, you can start speaking to other clubs, listen, if we go down, I'm free out of contract, blah, blah, blah. Whereas this is, I think it just...
I think there was one game I remember that the balance was all on the final game of the season. Mm. And I think it was between Wakefield and Castleford.
Yeah, it was. I remember that one. At the Bellevue.
Yeah.
I remember
there was a lot of hype. Did Wakey win it, eh?
Yeah.
That's right. It does, though.
Yeah.
It's all about jeopardy. It's all about creating that pinnacle, that talking point. And us, we've been talking about this for the last 4 weeks. It's giving us column inches. It's giving us airtime. It's, in a lot of respects, it's a good focal point to consider because of what's at stake. you know, the title that they coined last year, Every Minute Matters, was, it seems to be, it's gone beyond that to every second matters, every tackle matters, every run now matters. Terry Campese stating this game is bigger than a grand final. But the difference is, though, a grand final, you win a piece of silverware, you achieve something, you know, one of your dreams come true. But this game, you're winning relief. I mean, that's it, isn't it?
Well, I think you mentioned it all the week, didn't you, Leon, that he said that the pressure probably is probably a different type of pressure, really. The pressure you're putting on yourself is from your teammates and yourself to achieve your ambitions and your goals, whereas the pressure that this game puts you under is it's not just about your own sort of goals and aspirations, it's about your families and your kids and, you know, everything that's going to go on.
But it was just the same in the old relegation and promotion.
I think the difference is it comes down to one game. I think Leon's right. I think 9 times out of 10, you know a few months or a few weeks who's probably going to be in, who's probably going to get relegated. All right, the 10 points difference, right, 4 weeks before, you know that they're down. Whereas with this, it literally is 80 minutes.
And anything can happen. And I think that's where it becomes hard to deal with. Mm-hmm. It's because what this week is like, I experienced it with the Bradford Bulls. I wasn't even playing, so I couldn't imagine what the players were going through. But this time last year, I was so nervous. It was horrible. It was horrible week. Everyone.
And you've been in the game for 20 years, Robert. You've been in game for 20 years.
I played at every level.
So imagine an average, normal player, an average player.
I tell you, it was very evident. It was very evident after the game, because in the changing room, there wasn't a single dry eye in the place. Just the emotion, it was coming out physically in a physical format. All right, we might come back to this. We're just going to go for a little break. When we come back, we'll be discussing potentially some more of this and looking at the Dream Team that was released this week. All that and more after the break, so stick with us.
Big names and big stories from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse One.
Kia ora, Robbie Hunter-Paul here, and I'm live with the Earl of Rugby League, Leon Price, and the little general, Luke Robinson, and we're kind of working out our Facebook Live as well. So if you want to see the inside the studio with me, Robbo, and Leon, then just go on at RHP Show on Facebook, search for it and it should come up. Anyway, rugby league. So we were talking about the £1 million game. We were talking about Holker and Salford now having to battle it out. It's great. Salford coach Ian Watson got in there quickly, stating Rovers will be the favourites. So the sort of the mind games have begun.
Has he stood down now then, the coach? He stood down, hasn't he?
Who?
The Sheens, Tim Sheens.
Tim Sheens was director of rugby, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, he stood down from that position.
Well, it makes sense because
I'm stating that he has, hasn't he?
Oh, okay. Well, it makes sense because obviously there'd be like a conflict in interest with him going to be head coach at Hull KR next season and taking all the best players. No. Suggestions.
So he's already stood down. So Watson's fully in charge.
So you're not asking a question.
No, I'm telling you. I'm just informing the listeners.
Statement. Informing the listeners. He stood down.
Yep.
And Ian Watson has gotten there quickly. Mind games. That's the pressure. This is what this game. What we've really been talking about is dealing with the pressure. If you're having to think about your mortgage, if you're having to think about paying the bills, if you're having to think about the tea lady not having a job next year, then that starts to layer and it starts to bring out the monkey in you as opposed to the cool, calm, collected person that makes decisions in the right places.
I also think there's a little bit more pressure on Salford because I think that if they go down, is he going to stay?
He was saying on Twitter the other night that if they lose, then the players will keep the jobs.
They will keep the jobs.
Did he? He tweeted it publicly.
Wow.
Was that before or after the game?
That was when Lou Ellis from your team.
Yep.
Jamie
Ellis put a tweet out saying about the game, silly, stupid, lads, jobs are at stake. And Marwan tweeted back, nobody loses a job if we lose.
Oh, see, now that gives you confidence.
Yeah,
that
I was about to say, yeah.
Builds something different. Whereas, you know, obviously with Ben Cockayne, he's coming out and he's saying, that's not the case at Hull KR. it might be a smart move to go around and tell all your players.
I thought he said that, though. Anyway,
Tim Sheen's job is secure. But it may have impact. They may secure the playing staff, but it may be the knock-on effect it has around the joint. So, yeah, you know, the other place, the other part, the door, the stewarding, the bar staff, the administration.
Listen, we know the consequences. At the end of the day, look at Bradford Bulls. Look where we are now. We've gone from a Super League team to a team now that's, you know, we struggled to get, you know, 3,000-4,000. And over a long period of time, it's hard to get them fans back. So, and it's hard to keep the members of staff that you had. It's hard to keep that Super League experience as a club, the game day show, and everything that we had as a club and as a team for the best part of 10, 15 years. Is, you know, it's gone. So everybody knows, and no more than you, Robbie, no more than me, you've seen what's happened to Bradford and the position that we're in, what eventually can happen if you don't keep in Super League.
Yes, and that is sort of like the golden chalice, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Stay in the Super League.
Massively.
Survival. I mean, Robbo, you've experienced that yourself. The desperation, and it needs to be that. You need to treat it like that. Okay, let's have a look at the dream team. I'm just going to quickly run through it. At fullback, Jamie Shaw. Hard to argue against that. Number two on the wing, Denny Solomona. 40 tries in one season. The record, new record breaker. You cannot argue with that. Although still, musty linesman. number three and four, Ryan Atkins had a fantastic season for Warrington, with Warrington taking the league leader's shield. Mahe Fanua, again, he's just been an absolute monster for you guys. And actually, for Hull FC, I think he's grown stronger and stronger throughout the year.
Yeah, yes.
How have you guys seen it? Because his squad number is two. Mm-hmm. So he was given that edge position, but actually he's more effective as a centre for you guys. What position did he play for Melbourne Storm?
I think he was a centre, and then one season he was saying he came back and he put him on the wing for some reason. But he's a centre.
Craig Bellamy.
He came over wanting to play centre.
All right.
Yeah, but we had Jack Logan at the start of the season in centre, and then eventually, form wise, he's earned it.
Yeah, and has he ever? Don Manfredi is an interesting one because he's been injured for probably the last month and a half, 2 months out for the rest. I think he's out for another 8 months. Bad injury, but you had to argue along with Denny Solomona, probably was it in form winger.
Deserved.
Yeah, we're playing class. I thought before I got out injured, playing really good.
Couldn't tackle him. It's about 10 tackle bus a game.
Now, I think this year in the halves, it was quite a number of players that could have been chosen. So what are your thoughts on Kurt Gidley and Luke Gale?
I think Luke's had a great season. I think Gale has been one of, he seems to improve every year, doesn't he? You know, he's knocking on England's door now again. And Kurt Gidley, I think he's been recognised for Warrington season, how he's guided them around the field, you know, not only, probably not as much for his individual brilliance, but for how he's guided that team more than anything else. Who else are in the reckoning for the halfback?
Sneed, Sandow.
I mean, some tough competition.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Sandow's been pretty close.
Yeah, he has.
So, you know, some tough competition, but hard to argue with them?
I think it's fair. I think it's fair.
I think, though, you could have replaced them with those players that you've just mentioned,
yeah,
and we still would have felt comfortable.
If you'd have put
it.
Sandow at seven, it'd have been fine. If you'd have put Sneed at seven, it'd have been fine, in my opinion.
Okay, let's move on to the forward pack then. In the front rows, Chris Hill and Scotty Taylor. Scotty Taylor, he's growing this year. Another player that's come out of his, you know, he's matured.
I think this has been his maturing year when he's stamped his mark on Super League. He's not just being a player that's a squad player.
How old is he? Because he's only a young man, isn't he?
24, is he? 24.
And that's for a front rower. That's a sensational age to be achieving 25, 25. What he's achieving right now.
Well, he's already won Challenge Cup twice and Super League once, and you know, with Wigan and Hull FC, and now he's become very much a central part of a team where he's a leader of a pack. So at such a young age, he's still got, you know, a good 10 years in front of him easier.
That's right, and they only get better with time to front rows.
Yeah, he's a baby, as in prop terms, isn't he?
Prop's age. Mm, well, if you're JP and you can play on to your 432, then you're good to go.
Like,
At hooker, Danny Heldson. Good call.
It's good call, fair call, but I think the hooking position in England at the moment is the most hardest position ever since we've ever had any competition for any players. I think you've got Danny Houghton, you got James Robey, you got Daryl Clark, and that's just in this competition. And then you go to England, Australia, and we've got awesome. Hodgson over there who's absolutely destroying it. So I just think it's four absolutely unbelievable lookers who are all in top form.
So, you know, and it's hard for me to say that because I've just, he's been one of my favourite players of all time. James Robey, for me, is the bottom of that pile.
Me too. He's one of the best players I've ever played with or against. I thought he was class. He used to be a nightmare to play against, but I just think, actually, them three players have played a little bit better than him. Do you know what it is?
I'll tell you what it is with Robson. I've played with him for 6 years. He looks tired. He's tired. There's only so much tackling and running and holding a team together you can do in the middle of the park for 80 minutes a match over the best part of 12, 13 years at the top level, and for it not to have effect on your body. He looks tired.
He was started ridiculously young as well, didn't
he? Yeah, it looks like he holds that team. The games I've played, he holds that team together on his own half the time. And it's too much. He needs a break, he needs an holiday, he needs a rest. And he's still good enough, he's still fit and he's still strong, but he needs a rest.
Do you know what? I thought he played his best rugby when he was actually being spelled for England. As opposed to playing 80 minutes, coming on as a bit of an impact or starting. He wasn't playing 80 minutes. Now I thought he played his best rugby in a long time.
I was going to bring that up because that was a big discussion point for us in the panel last year when they were playing against New Zealand. The fact that James Robey was coming off the bench. And the argument that John Wilkins made, obviously he's played alongside him so long, knows the quality that he can deliver over 80 minutes, was arguing, look, he needs to be in the game for the full 80 minutes.
I'd play him 80 minutes. A fit Robey. A top of his game Robey, I'd play him 80.
I'm with Robbo on it. I liked him coming in and actually injecting himself into the game. Because for the reason that you just said, he looked tired.
I'd grind.
Mate, how old is he now? He must be
He's 30, same age as our Cal. I'd put Robey
in. Is he only 30?
He's 30, same age as
Cal.
Oh
my gosh.
I'd put him in from start, let him grind, and I'd put Clark on to speak game.
I'm sure.
But then again, I've not seen Hodgson
play. I'm sure
he
started playing the same time I started playing back in 1996. He's been around forever.
He's a 2005, I think, his first season.
Wow. Well, the impact that he made, and he's picked up Man of Steel a few times, hasn't he?
Once.
Just once?
I think it's once.
No, I think it's more than that. I think he picked it up a couple of times.
Class player.
Okay, well, who's your choices for leading the England charge at this point in time? They kind of have different styles of play. They can all get out of acting half. Clarkey is the fastest out of Hodgson and Danny Helton. He can hold that speed as well. But I would say with both Hodgson and Danny Helton, they swivel their heads more. They look and they read the game better. It's a tight argument for me, this one. I think the big problem going against Danny at this point in time is your international coach is Australian.
Yeah, I think he'll definitely get picked. Will Hodgson from Canberra Raiders. I think he's a shoo-in.
Yeah, I don't know. I think then they're going to rotate, maybe put Clark on as an impact player if they carry another nine.
All right. Now, I've not got through all the... When we come back, we're going to finish off the Dream Team. I think we've got the back rowers and the loose forward to go. We'll discuss that, and we'll also be discussing this massive weekend of rugby league ahead of us. So all that and more, stick with us after the break and on Facebook as well.
Whatever the story, we've got it covered. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. We have reached the last two rounds of the domestic competition. Now, last week we saw the outcome of the League Leaders competition and the survival of a Super League club. This week we again will see the survival and relegation of a Super League club, as well as the final of the Championship and League One competitions. And if that wasn't enough, we also have the penultimate round of the Super League season with the two semi-finals underway, coupled with the NRL Grand Final. Oh my gosh, it's just rugby league ecstasy if you love your rugby league, as we do love our rugby league. It's in our blood. It's in our DNA, as they say. We were just looking at the Dream Team. Just finishing off the Dream Team. In the back rows. So far, number one, Jamie Shaw. On the wings, Denis Solomona and Don Manfredi. In the centres, Ryan Atkins and Mahe Whanua. In the halves, Kurt Gidley and Luke Gale. Front rowers, Chris Hill and Scotty Taylor. Number nine, Danny Helton. In the back row, so we've been named Ben Curry and Mark Minicello. Just wanted to put a question mark. How do you feel about those two?
Well, Ben Kerry, he's been class. He's been one of the best players in the league. You know what I mean? He could nearly be up for Man of Steel. I think he's played that good.
He has played that good. But is there any other back rowers? John Bateman, for me, has just had an outstanding season. I think the internal fine that he got banned from the games, how long was that for?
Eight games.
The internal ban, I think that stopped him from getting into this game. I think it's knocked him off his rhythm as well. Watching him come back from that ban, I don't think he's been as effective for Wigan.
It's not easy to get into a groove after missing 8 months of rugby.
And he was really into the rhythm of everything that Wigan were doing, wasn't
it? It was our best player by a mile.
By far. And I think for me, at that time of the season, for me, he was one of the front runners alongside Gaz Ellis for Man of Steel.
Yeah, and Curry. Definitely. Them three were the best players in comp for me, in my opinion, for a large part of the season. Very large part of the season. So it's a shame for Curry, getting injured at back end of the year. It's a shame for Bateman getting the ban. But a little bit like Manfredi as well, because Manfredi was in fantastic form for the season. But it shouldn't be forgotten. I think sometimes you forget about these players when they're out for a while. But it shouldn't be forgotten.
Especially when you get towards the playoffs and the hypes of the Super 8 qualifiers and playoffs, Super League, Super 8s. It's like the media hype around everything sort of steps up a gear, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. And they do start to get forgotten. We're cool with those two. And Gareth Ellis. No-brainer. No-brainer.
I've had Man of Steel yet, so...
On the Facebook Live, we have had a question from Rob Walsfold. Rob Walsfold. Good first name, by the way, Rob. Should Gaz Ellis make an England comeback? I know, Leon, you said you know what the... If I asked the question, you know what.
Yeah, well, I was speaking to him yesterday. I asked him, I said, will you come back? He said, absolutely no chance. Says there's no way he can do it. He can't put his body away. He puts it through without having a good off season. And this leads on to another point as well. We were talking about that. He was saying to us, like, the time that he has off here, for him to play England internationals, to play 35 games during the season, to play four games, what it is, international wise, have a tiny little bit of Christmas, have 2 weeks.
Pre-season,
have a 4 week pre-season, and then start the season. He said, you're already behind. So like the break, he said, when I going back to Australia after Christmas, I still had like 8 weeks of training before I had to play. I said, it's unbelievable. So we were saying, at his age, you've got no chance of playing internationals because you just don't get the rest.
And what he's effectively saying is that he doesn't have the recovery time, does he?
Zero recovery
for
time.
For him to perform in a similar capacity as he has performed as captain, as the leader, on-field leader for Hull FC in 2017, it's vital that he takes that rest. Jamie Peacock made that decision over the last three seasons of his Super League career also.
Yeah, it's common sense, isn't it, really? I mean, if you think about it, if you play up to the grand final, it's October the 9th, then if you go to play internationals, you don't finish until maybe the 1st of December. So then you've got 4 weeks till Christmas, and then 4th of January, you're back into pre-season training.
And to understand, it's pre-season training where other guys have had 2 months preparation, building that foundation, and you're expected to go in at that level.
No chance.
You just burn out, don't you?
Yeah, massively.
And I think it's energy management now.
And a lot of players throughout the career, the successful ones, i.e. James Robies, your Paul Willans, your Andy Farrells, Paul Sculthorpes, they would have done that for most of their careers.
Mm.
You never really get a chance to build yourself as an athlete, really. Not like the Aussies. Really, the rest and the training that they do is far superior to ours.
We play that many more games than Antipodeans, and you see a lot of times where, like, Leon's at the nail on the head, Chris Radlinski, Andy Farrell, all those blokes that started playing nationals at a very young age who didn't pick up any knocks and niggles early doors. They break down. Sculthorpe. It's due to them being that good a player, they get picked for every game. They're playing finals, then they play
and
nationals.
At the time, during that time, there was the Yorkshire Lancashire games as well, wasn't it?
It's massive. It's crazy. Yeah. It's too much. Too many games.
Origin games as well.
Just too many games. Too many games for the boys. And they wonder why we can't beat Aussies.
And we've got more. Well, it's the Kiwis you got to beat, mate. They're number one. Just want to throw that back in there. New Zealand still holding number one position. We've got some absolutely massive games. We've seen some massive games last week, and we've got some massive games coming up. Let's first speak about the League One final, Toulouse. Barrow, they'll be playing Barrow. Barrow have to go to Toulouse to play against them.
Tricky. It's always tricky going to France, isn't it?
Well, we expected Toulouse actually to go sail through, straight through into the championship next year. So they're having to compete. It's both the Cumbrian teams that have been relegated out of the championship. That's Workington and Whitehaven.
You just think home advantage is going to tell, don't you? You don't think?
No, I do. I mean, they've been the, especially on home soil, they've been one of the most outstanding teams in League One. Winning games for fun, to be honest. And I think they've had a little bit of a drop-off, but they only have to get up for this one big game. So I think the smart money will be at Toulouse. And I think I expect to see them in the championship in 2017. So let's fast forward it to that game's on the Saturday. So let's have a look on the Sunday game, the championship final, championship shield final, Bradford Bulls versus the Sheffield Eagles. Now, 2 weeks ago, the Bulls put 80 points on Sheffield. Now, to Sheffield's defence, it was a bit of a nothing game. Both teams couldn't move in their positions. But how do you see this one going?
Bradford Sheffield. Is that the final?
Oddsall, yeah, at Providence Stadium.
Ah, right, okay. Sorry. Yeah, I think same way. I think
80 points though?
Not 80 points, but I think a Bradford win. I think the Sheffield players are very disillusioned after being told that they're not going to be. This will be the last payday in September. I think that has a hell of a lot to do with it.
That's a massive shadow that's been hanging over their heads.
Listen, you go and play a game of rugby at weekend, and you're not going to get paid. It's like telling people to turn up to work and not giving them any money. Not going to happen, is it?
Go up that ladder, work on that that building site all day for nothing.
For free?
they're not doing it. Their head's not there. They're going out pub.
Exactly. They've had their Mad Monday already.
Yeah, they've had their Mad Monday.
All right. Well, hopefully it's going to be a good game anyway. Bradford Bulls.
Sorry, we're talking about it, aren't we?
Despite what these two have said,
every minute matters.
I'm looking forward to the game myself. I'm going to go along and watch that one. Hopefully the Bulls will be able to pick up their first bit of silverware. And I know people are saying, "Oh, what is the hubcap shield? Whatever, it's silverware. You get the opportunity to go out and play and pick up a title. Go out and do it. That's what I believe. I remember I played in World Cup finals. I've played in Challenge Cup finals, Super League finals, picked up the silverware. I tell you what, I was just as over the moon with those as I was when I was an amateur, when I was playing as a kid. Do you know what I mean? Just getting that day out, and that's what it should mean to the players.
Leon, don't get our bed unless it's Super League ring. Oh. No. Does not get our bed.
No chance.
He's trying to get his head
Is
around.
Is it Super League or Challenge Cup? Don't wake me up.
All right, let's. So the Super 8 match, Hull KR versus Salford Reds.
What day is this on? It's all it's
Saturday. Saturday afternoon, well. Yeah?
Wow. Oh, I am going to go.
That's at KR, remember?
I am going to go for KR just because I know how difficult it is to go KR.
I'm going
to
go KR too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
all my advantage is massive there. Yeah,
no, I don't. I think the impact of what Mo and Kukash has said, I think, because they come out and they absolutely trounced Batley at Mount Pleasant on that hill, and I think that's had a positive impact on those players, and they are a class team. Quickly, we've got the two semi-finals just to have a brief look at. Warrington versus St. Helens.
St. Helens.
Oh, Warrington.
Whoa, that is massive call.
Why? St. Helens always beat Warrington at Warrington. Look at the records.
That's the past, mate. Can't live in the past.
I'm just saying it.
What do you reckon, Robert?
I think Warrington. Oh, they've got a few niggles and knocks, aren't they? I'm still going Warrington.
I'm going Warrington. And Wigan and...
I'm going to tell you next week. Watch me. I bet I'm right.
Wigan and HFC. OFC.
Well, Wigan.
All right, well, that's it. Hey, thank you very much. We know Leon's going to choose. Big thanks to you, wherever you are listening tonight, on the air and live on Facebook. If you want to listen again, we'll upload your show to the website, pulse1.co.uk, RSP show, in about 10 minutes' time. Thank you once again, and enjoy
your
evening.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1. Wednesday evening from 6.